that was ingrained in me from early on. But what I did develop was a passion for missions, a passion for the church being something other than just open doors for people to come in whenever they get the idea that it's time to go to church. For me, church became something far greater than that experience. Now, don't get me wrong. I love this Sunday morning, Wednesday experience. I love connecting with brothers and sisters in Christ. But to me, the church has to become something other than that to people. Otherwise, what are we really doing? We're opening the doors and hoping and praying that people come in, that God has somehow reached them where they are. Instead, I think maybe God is calling us to do something a little bit different than that. And John chapter 5 is one of my favorite texts. It is like my all-time favorite next to one other text, and that's Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is my all-time favorite book. John chapter 5, the beginning of that is my favorite text, and it has been speaking to me. I'm not sure if Pastor Mike has shared with you any of my story or not, but I recently, after preaching for 26 years, decided to take a sabbatical. And that has led me into a season of my life of rest, of recovery, of solitude, of just refreshing my soul. My wife was right there along with us, four children, and now four grandchildren. I don't want to go that far yet. But we have four grandchildren, and they have all walked through this ministry with us together, and it was a time for refreshing. But so far, this is what God has brought me through in just this 1 year. October 1st was 1 year of a sabbatical for me. I became a corrections officer working in a jail. I became a sheriff's deputy. I have become a town marshal. I work every day as a chaplain with our director of spiritual care for a hospice company. I am a deputy coroner. So all of those titles where I thought, man, I'm going to have a break and just relax and enjoy life for a year, God has added all of that to my plate. But I will tell you this, it has been one of the most refreshing, renewing experiences of God working in my life than I could have ever imagined. And so I say that to encourage you to do a couple things. Pastor Mike, he's ill right now. Be praying for him. Encourage him. Give him his time to heal and recover. But also be thinking about ways that you can come alongside of him and support this mission, and support this church. Be part of this ministry together, serving one another. I would encourage you to do that. How many of you have ever lived around a hog farm? Great smell, right? Wonderful places to live. I lived around a hog farm, and one of my very first jobs was working on this hog farm. It was a horrible job. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a horrible job, but me and my best friend, we decided that we needed to make money because we had girlfriends at the time, and we had to get gas money to go cruising around, and so we took these jobs, and we went to work, and you know how it is. You work a job, you try and do your best, and man, you just go into these hog lots, and you work and work and work, and you're shoveling, and you're doing all kinds of different things all day long, and that smell and that dirt and all of that other stuff just kind of cakes on you. As you sweat, it just kind of beads itself to your skin and your clothes, and so you there's really nothing you can do other than just go home and change clothes outside and leave them hanging out and all that stuff. Well, we decided that on Friday we would go home after work, we'd get cleaned up, we'd go out on dates, double date, and have all that kind of fun and stuff, you know. Well, what happened was we wound up working a little bit later than what we thought we were going to have to. And so we're rushing home, and in the midst of this, we look at each other, and I told him, I said, man, you stink. He said, no, you stink. And we agreed, we stink. So he said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're running short on time. The girls are ready. Let's get this figured out. So his mom had a hot tub. And we thought, you know what we'll do? We'll just not worry about taking showers. We're just going to jump in the hot tub, jump out of the hot tub, go change, and get ready. I tell you what, that hot tub never worked the same again. It never smelled the same again. It never worked the same again. The water instantly turned this nasty color, and I wasn't going to tell his mother. I was going to let him do that. I mean, we're 16 at this point, and I'm not involved in that discussion with his mother at all. But anyway, long story short, the hot tub broke, and we had to pay for the repairs, and so we lost more money, and it was just a nightmare. I tell you that story because of John chapter 5 and the way that it has affected me. Look at John chapter 5. He writes, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, and it means to have five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. There's blind, lame, paralyzed, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. And that's that hot tub illustration for you. Verse 4, he writes, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease that they had. Now a certain man who was there, or was there, who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today reading your word, asking that you apply this to our hearts, that you change us in some way, that you challenge us by the very words in the pages of our Bibles. May your Spirit speak to us today, asking us, challenging us, changing us to do the things that you are requiring of us in our walk with you. Father, search us for that one spot that we haven't yet given up to you, for that change in our heart that needs to be laid before the very cross of Christ. Father, wash us of that sin, wash us, cleanse us today, and restore us. In Christ's name, amen. I love this illustration, and I'm a history kind of guy and love taking words and parsing them out, and Pastor Mike does too, but When we look at this text overall, what are we really talking about? We're talking about a person who has been ill for 38 years, been laying by a pool called the Sheep Gate. And let me just tell you that the Sheep Gate was the lowest gate that anyone could walk in the city because it had all the sheep. It stunk. It was dirty. It smelled. The water was nasty from all kinds of things, from the sheep drinking to the sheep doing what they do in that water. Think about all of the stuff that happens at that gate. And so here is this man lying here. But if you look at the last part of that second verse, he says, it is a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Now these five porches are interesting to me because what it really signifies is looking at a mountainside, if you will. Consider you're looking at a mountain and you have a stream running down the mountain and it flows into a nice pool at the top and then it flows down into the next pool at the bottom and the next one. And so it literally means that there's five different levels of pools of water for people to go to. Now, in this customary day, what that meant was if you had money, if you were successful, if you were wealthy, if you were part of the connected group, if you belonged, then you went to the top level, the pool, the clean water. You know what I'm talking about. And then it would filter on down by culture and status, and all of a sudden at the bottom with the dirty water and the nasty stuff in the water, you have those who are in desperate need. Think about our culture today and what that says about us as people today and the class structures and the systems that we have today. It's always the people at the bottom of the hill that need something. And so here's this story of this man sitting here at this pool trying to get healed so he can get better. He's been laying here for 38 years. Can you imagine every day going to a pool by the sheep gate that smells nasty, that is horrible, that is a disgusting place full of sick people, it's full of people who are lame and blind and needing help? And all of a sudden, when this one person comes down into the water, this one person comes in, everybody rushes to the pool, but you can't make it. For 38 years, this person was in need of a healing, in need of restoration, in need of that one thing that could change his life. And for 38 years, he laid there by the pool and no one helped him. That's powerful. It says a lot about their culture, but I think you also get the inference to our culture today. Let's look at verse 4. Because in verse 4, he talks about this angel who went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up that water, and then whoever stepped into the pool in the pool first, after that stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. That is a special verse for me. If you're a highlighter, do we have any highlighters of verses here? I love to highlight. I'm a note taker. I've got all kinds of notes and post-it notes in my Bible. I encourage you to do that. If I were you, I have that highlighted and underlined. In one of my other study Bibles, I have it circled multiple times because it's a powerful word. It's the word angel. That word angel, look at it for just a moment. It's not capitalized, is it? It's not a capitalized angel. So let me explain to you. In the language of this, it literally means a messenger. It means a common, ordinary, everyday worker. A person who cares enough about other people to go to where they are and help them change their life. That's what this angel is doing. It's not the heavenly angel. It's not that God has allowed angels among us and they're in the pool and changing lives and healing people. It is this simple, ordinary, average person who doesn't even get a name, just calls him an angel. So this angel goes down into the water, cares for others. And yet there are so many people that this one man cannot get healed. You know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that the world needs more angels today. I'm convinced that the world needs more people who are willing to go to hospices and sit as a volunteer and hold a hand or give a cold cup of water to those who are sick or dying or in need of a healing. Our world needs people who are willing to go to our schools and volunteer and be that bridge, that gap that says, I don't know what your background is, I don't know what your story is, but I'm here to tell you that you are loved, that you have value, that you have power in Jesus' name, that today your life can be changed by the very power of Christ. Our world needs more people who are willing to stand in the gap and not sit in a chair and wait for the doors of the church to be opened by thousands of people rushing in. That's what our churches need today. Listen, I get it. I've been in the church long enough to understand the story of the church and the power that it has. But if we are only containing it here, we are missing the point of being that opportunity or being that angel to someone who changes their life. Now, here's what I want you to do just for a moment. I want you to close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands yet, but I want you to just close your eyes and think of that one angel that touched your life, that made a difference in the story of you and your family, and the powerful ways that that changed your life. Secondly, I want you to say a prayer of thanks for that person who changed you, who challenged you to live to a higher standard, who challenged you to accept the very grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. I know the guy who changed my life. His name was Chuck. Great Baptist guy, would drive anyone nuts. This guy, you knew if you saw Chuck, he was going to ask you when you were coming to church. He was going to ask you, how's your faith? How are you doing? He was going to pray for you. Chuck was that kind of guy. I worked with him in the Air Force, and I avoided him like the plague for days because I knew he was going to ask me how I was doing. He was that mentor, that friend, that confidant. I'm sure you have those in your life, those angels who have come into your life in many different ways and changed you somehow. Now, I also want you to think of how you can be that angel to someone else. How you can stir the waters of their soul. How you can provide the very power of Christ to them by setting the example, by following that example, by living your life different for Christ. See, that's the power that we have. Now, as you know, at the end of the story, this man was laying here, and Jesus just happens to be walking by the sheep gate, which I find very powerful, that Jesus is just walking around the town. Think of it this way. Jesus could have run straight up the top of that mountain and sat there with the rich folks up at the top of the hill. He could have chosen any other station along that hill to just be there with people. And what does he do? He stays right at the bottom of that. Here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, living with the lowest of the lowest, the sick, the blind, in their culture, the one struggling the most. Jesus sees him lying there, and Jesus had already known his condition and the way that he was. Look at the question Jesus asks him. Do you want to be made well? See, I think sometimes in our life we get so down and so broken and so discouraged that we don't even know what we want anymore. Can you imagine going through 38 years of this infirmity and lying there day after day after day watching people's lives get better and yours only gets worse? Your struggle continues. Sometimes in life, we don't quite know what we want. But the sick man answers him in the best way that he knows. He doesn't really answer the question, by the way. He doesn't say, yes, I want to get better. He starts talking about his circumstances. He starts talking about his problems. He starts telling Jesus, well, this is a problem. Well, this is a problem. I have no one to help me. I'm all alone in my world. That's not the question, was it? The question was simple. Do you want to be made well? Jesus sees the underlying issue in his heart and heals him. It wasn't, well, we'll get you to the water one day. We'll bring you to the church and have people pray over you. We'll do this, we'll do that. It was very simple. Rise, get up, take your bed, and walk. That's how fast Jesus changes lives. It's not about the waiting process. It's not about all of the stuff. It's about the power of Christ to change you, to transform you, to challenge you to do better, to do different things. I don't know how long Pastor Mike talks. He didn't really tell me. I'm assuming I know him, so I'm guessing it's probably 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half, somewhere in there. No? Okay. Well, I will wrap up with this. I am continually blessed to see God working in the lives of people in our world. And God has shown me that the church, while it is powerful, while it is important, while it is part of my life still, it is not the only opportunity that I have to minister to people and to meet people where they are. For 26 years, I lived under this guise of, you know what, we're going to come to church on Sunday mornings, we're going to see life change, all this stuff is going to happen, and it does. But people today need to know that you care about them, need to know that you want to be there in the pool of their sickness, in the pool of their lameness, in the pool of their depravity, and know that you're willing to step into that water with them and carry them out. That's what people need to know today. That you're loved, that they are loved, and that Jesus still is in the life-changing business, in the life-saving business. I'll close with this. John 14:6. What does it say? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You got the last part of it. Good. I think that I'll just share three basic things with you. But we as the church, representing the church, we must be the messengers. I think we need to be setting the example for people to follow, right? Have you heard church people getting on CNN or Fox News and they're talking all this negative stuff and Jesus never seems to enter the conversation? I get so frustrated with that because it's about us not living our own story, but sharing the way that Christ has enveloped us, the way that Christ has entered our hearts and changed our lives. And yet so much of it is about setting a tone that is less than what Christ expects of us. In our life, I think we need to be setting the example in the way, in the truth, and the life. Secondly, I believe that the goal of the church, or if you have a mission statement or a plan, it cannot simply be to open up the doors of the church and wait for people to show up. There has to be more meat to it. There has to be more substance to sharing and living that example of the love of Christ. It's about sharing the truth with one another. Listen, you ever heard the phrase, the truth hurts sometimes? It does. It can be painful. But if we don't tell them, who's going to? In our culture, who is going to share the love of Christ and say, hey, you know what? Maybe there's a better way of doing this. Maybe there's a better way of reaching down into your life with the power of God than just doing what you want. The goal of the church cannot simply be to sit back and watch the world happen. It has to be more powerful than that. And number three, we as the church can do more than just lip service. Talking about Christ is great, don't get me wrong. But we must also show people the very tangible love of God. It is about showing the very tangible love of Christ by living that example. It is the life that Jesus is referring to. Remember that hot tub? Think about the hot tub just for a moment. It was never the same again. It changed. There was this residue of hog smell in that thing that lasted until I moved away. And that I was 20 when I left. I mean, for 4 years, that thing never smelled the same again. Didn't matter how much bleach we poured in that. It didn't matter how hard we cleaned or what we repaired. It was just ruined. You know, you can wash that dirt and the smell away from your life on the outside. You might look and smell great, But let me tell you this, without Christ, without Jesus Christ in your life, there is still this residue on the inside of you that needs to be changed. You are not a Christian without Christ in your life. You cannot walk around claiming to be that without having Him inside you. Christ is waiting today to cleanse you, to heal you, to restore you, to walk with you and provide those angels that are sitting next to you to mentor you, to encourage you, to strengthen you in this journey called your life, in this journey of faith together. That's the power that we have in Jesus' name. To watch Christ change us, to accept Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to God the Father. That's power. And that is a message worth sharing. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Father, you know us. You search us. You challenge us. Father, you can see into our hearts and our minds. You can see the sin, the sickness, the ailments that we have. And the struggles of life that just seem to never get better. But Father, you also are the cure. You are the healing that we need. You provide that forgiveness when we lay those sins at the foot of the cross, never to pick them up again, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Father God, help us to accept that grace, that mercy that you have applied by going to the cross, by Jesus on the cross, bearing the sins and the shame of a world, by being crucified, that we might have life everlasting, by going into that grave and resurrecting Christ on the third day, defeating death, providing victory over sin, death, and darkness. We cling to that hope today that you would wash us, that you would cleanse us, not just this outside, outer shell, but that you would truly envelop us, that you would change our hearts, Father. But Father, secondly today, we also ask that you would, as you change us, as we continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who you are, and how you love us, that you would somehow, by your grace and mercy, help us to be those angels to those around us. To those who are still struggling, who need that healing, that need that cure, that need to be forgiven of their sins, and need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For that's what we truly are about.